Hey there, this is Brian Zond, and welcome to my sermon podcast. I'm glad that you're interested in the sermons that I preach here at Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And if you ever feel inclined to help us by supporting us financially, you can do that at our website, WOLC.com. Thank you.
We have been equipping you with tools and encouragement for what you do when you hit the wall, when you go through a serious crisis of faith where you experience what the ancients called a dark night of the soul. This is a part of the Christian journey that there's going to come a time when you get the eerie suspicion that perhaps God is not the way you thought God was, and you encounter doubt. What do you do? And so today, specifically, I want to talk about what do you do with the Bible during this time? Because for some people who are in a process of deconstruction and reconstruction, well, for some, the crisis of faith comes from reading the Bible. For other people, they don't know what to do with the Bible. So I want to address that today. Because I don't know what you do with verses like, let me just read some. Just what do you do with verses like this when God spoke to Samuel, and according to 1 Samuel, the Lord spoke saying, "Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep and camel and donkey." I mean, what do you do with verses like this one is about David, when it speaks about David multiplying wives and concubines, where it says, "And David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he came from Hebron, and more sons and daughters were born to David." What do you do with verses like that? Or if you are with us in praying the psalm for the day, it hasn't been so long since we were praying Psalm 137. What do you do with verses like this? "Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them upon the rock." Well, so what do we do with verses like these? Because for some people, when they encounter verses like that, they think, well, no way. I mean, if this is what the God of the Bible is all about, I don't want any part of this. For some people, they either want to throw their Bibles out, or even worse, some people walk away from the faith because they don't know what to do with verses like those. So here's what I want us to do this morning. What I want us to do is to listen to Jesus. That's what we're going to do as we get started. Let's listen to Jesus, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to talk about what to do with the Bible in this process of deconstruction, reconstruction. But first, let's listen to Jesus. This is what Jesus has to say in John chapter 5. Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." Let's pray. Bow your heads with me if you would. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In listening to Jesus in John chapter 5, we find Jesus often in this position where he was challenging the religious establishment. He was doing something to break their rules and creating a conflict. Understand that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and sometimes he has to bring his peace by first challenging ideas that are false. And so the peace that Jesus brings sometimes includes conflicts. And the conflict that Jesus was having here was that Jesus was breaking the rule by working on the Sabbath day. And the religious leaders wanted Jesus to know about that. And the law of Moses was clear. It's in the Ten Commandments. On the Sabbath day, from sundown on Friday night till sundown on Saturday night, you should do no work. And so here comes Jesus, without any kind of medical license, on the Sabbath day, opening up a doctor's office and treating patients. He is healing on the Sabbath day. He is intentionally breaking rules. And so this, of course, causes the religious establishment to get upset and to directly challenge him. And when they ask him about this, when they challenge Jesus about this, Jesus says, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Jesus only upset them more, only made them more mad, because they said, "You're breaking the rule. The Sabbath, you do not work on the Sabbath." And how does Jesus defend himself? By using the word work. He says, "My Father is working, and I am working." And this made them doubly upset. This was doubly problematic. Because not only was Jesus claiming, "Yes, I'm working on the Sabbath day," he also had the audacity to call God his Father. And this, of course, was unheard of. No Jewish person would speak about God in such familiar and intimate terms. But Jesus did so. So the religious establishment, they must have been asking themselves, who does this Jesus of Nazareth think that he is? Who does he think he is? The Son of God? Who would speak of God as their Father? Jesus goes on to explain that, yes, indeed, these religious leaders, they have the Bible on their side. They have the law of Moses. They have the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says that you should not work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said that what he is doing, he is simply doing what he sees his Father do, because it is the way that leads to life. Their way of reading and understanding the law, or we could say the Bible, was preventing them from experiencing the very life that Jesus came to bring. And then Jesus said, these scriptures that you're quoting, these scriptures that you're turning to, they are the ones that speak of me. And they were claiming, we have Moses on our side. We're reading the law of Moses. We have Moses on our side. We're trusting in Moses. And Jesus said, well, I understand that, but you're not reading Moses right. Then Jesus goes on to say, this is John 5:46. Jesus says, for if you believed in Moses, you would believe in me. For he wrote of me. Jesus says, if you were properly reading Moses right, you would see that Moses, in these first five books of the Old Testament, Moses is writing about me. And I can imagine the religious leaders, they're just shaking their heads. They must be like, I must have missed that chapter in Deuteronomy about Jesus of Nazareth. How does this work? Here's what Jesus is saying. We don't need to forget about Moses. We certainly don't detach ourselves from the Jewish scriptures. No, the Bible is good. All of it is good. We don't need to throw it out. What we need to do is read it with Jesus at the center. Understanding that all of it is ultimately pointing us to Jesus. So when you read strange things in the Bible, you don't need to throw the Bible out. You don't need to walk away from the faith. What you need is a Jesus-centered Bible. And that's going to be the title of the message today, a Jesus-centered Bible. You don't need to get rid of the Bible. What you need is a new way of reading the Bible, a way of reading the Bible so that it leads you ultimately to Jesus Christ. So how do you do that? How do you read the Bible with Jesus at the center? I have a couple of thoughts. Number one, first, don't treat it as a collection of personal Bible promises. And I know those Bible promise books are really popular. I know that they are. But this is not going to help you. Don't read the Bible as just a collection of Bible promises. Now, this may come as a shock to you, so be prepared. What I'm saying may shock you because I know your mama told you you're special and that you're the center of the universe, but I'm going to break the news to you. The Bible was not written to you as an isolated individual. I know you're special, but you ain't that special. The Bible is not God's love letter written specifically to you and for you and about you. The Bible is first and foremost a book written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by a community, for a community, about a community. So I think the first thing that you have to do is understand that this is a community book that we read together. It's not a collection of Bible promises just for you. So don't flip through and try to find individual little verses that you can find these promises and apply them to your life. I think that that is unhelpful. And I am jumping into the second thought, and that is don't try to apply all of the Bible to your life. And again, for some of you, you're shocked. You're like, Pastor, I'm holding a life application Bible. And for that, I'm sorry. But really, no, I think one of the worst ways of reading the Bible is reading it and then trying to apply all of it to your life. Now, understand that there are commands from Jesus. There are things that we are supposed to do. But if you are primarily going to the Bible simply to find things to apply, well, you could make a mess of things. Imagine, if you would, two brothers, Tommy and Timmy. Let's say Tommy and Timmy are about 8 and 9 years old. They're being raised in a Christian home, and they're taught, boys, you need to read the Bible and apply it to your life. So let's imagine that Tommy and Timmy are on summer vacation, driving mom nuts because they're bored. And mom's like, go outside and play. So they go outside and play, and it's 98 degrees in Northwest Missouri at the beginning of summer vacation. And they're out there playing, and they get hot, and they start fighting like brothers fight. And they're just going at each other. And they get mad, and they come in, and they come to mom with their problem. And mom says, like moms do, you boys work it out. Now, let's just imagine that because Tommy and Timmy were raised to apply the Bible to their life, let's imagine, what if Timmy is flipping through the Bible and he comes to this verse? What if he comes to Exodus 32:27 and reads these words? And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp, and each of you kill his brother. Timmy's like, woohoo, I got a verse. Tommy, come over here. Now, of course, we laugh because that's absurd. You can't apply every verse to your life like that. That's not the way it works. Leads me to my next thought. Number three, don't assume every verse has equal weight and authority. It doesn't. The problem with biblicism is a counter-religion to the Christian faith. The problem with biblicism is that it flattens the Bible into a collection of God facts, like an encyclopedia of God facts, where you can just go and pick and say, well, this is, God is like this, and God is like this, and God is like this. Sometimes God wants us to kill children and infants. Sometimes God wants us to bless children and infants. No, this is not the way we read the Bible. This is not the way the Bible tells us we should be reading the Bible. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1. Listen to these verses. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He, Jesus, the Son of the Father, the second member of the Trinity, he, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. See, in times past, we only had the scriptures, but the scriptures now have brought to us Jesus, who is exactly what God is like. So we've learned this by now. God is like who? Yes, thank you for the five of you participating. Let's see if everyone else can join in. God is like who? God has always been like who? There has never been a time when God is not like who? We didn't always know that, and now we do. So no, we don't read the Bible assuming every verse has the same equal weight and authority, because Jesus tells us, and the writer of Hebrews reinforces, that ultimately the Holy Scripture is leading us to Jesus. Thought number four, this is just good pastoral counsel. Don't freak out when you read strange things in the Bible. Just keep reading. See, the thing about Bible reading is a lot of people don't do it. But if you do, and I encourage you to, if you do, you're going to come across strange things. Stranger things right here in this book. And when you do, don't freak out. Don't throw your Bible out. Don't say, well, if this is true, then everything falls apart. Don't do that. Don't freak out. Just pause. Take a deep breath and ask yourself, how is this leading me to Jesus? I mean, what do I do with this strange story, and how does it lead me to Jesus? And there's lots of options. For example, you can make an allegory or a metaphor out of it. So when you see God commanding the killing of children, you think, well, as I sit with Jesus in this strange verse, well, maybe I need to work and cooperate with God's Holy Spirit in killing the little infant sins within my heart. So there's lots of ways to deal with it. But first, when you encounter strange things, don't freak out. Keep reading, and keep reading till you get to Jesus. Finally, number five, this is what we want to focus on this morning, and that is to let Jesus be your rabbi. Rabbi is a Jewish word that means teacher. And the scriptures were never intended to be given to isolated individuals to try to figure out what it all means on their own. The scriptures were given to us understanding that we need a teacher. So let's let Jesus be our rabbi. Let's let Jesus teach us. This is what Jesus did right after the resurrection, right after He was raised from the dead. If you remember the story in Luke where he meets those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they don't recognize that it's Jesus, and they're having this conversation about what's just happened, about the Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, and he was killed, and there's these stories that he rose from the dead, and they're having this whole conversation. What Jesus did for them is to use the scriptures to teach them about himself. That's exactly what Luke tells us happened. Luke 24, 27, Luke tells us, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." This is what Rabbi Jesus does. He doesn't say cast aside all of the Jewish scriptures. Rather, Rabbi Jesus says, let me help you understand what these verses and what these passages and what these scriptures mean, and ultimately how they tell you about me. Jesus is the one who helps us read the Bible with Jesus at the center. And so what Jesus is doing here is he is going about the business of interpretation. Because for people who are in this process of deconstruction and reconstruction, what I have found when I've talked to people who are really going through a serious crisis of faith, their problem is not so much with what the Bible says, but with what the Bible means. And see, this is where Rabbi Jesus comes in. He becomes the interpretive guide. He's the one to show us this is what the Bible means. This is how we are to interpret it. Because for us, for Christians, we interpret the Bible as by Jesus and through Jesus and with Jesus at the center. The 4th century church father, Hilary of Poitiers, said, Scripture is not in the reading, but in the understanding. And that's so true. But what I know about so many people is they were given other instructions when they were young Christians. If you were given the mantra, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. As I remember being taught early on as a teenager that was reading the Bible and following Jesus. But if you were given that mantra, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, you're going to have to do some rethinking and deconstruction. Because that assumption is built on the wrong idea that you can simply take the Bible as it is. Have you ever heard people say that? I don't interpret the Bible, Pastor Derek. I just take it the way it is. Have you heard people say that? Oh, we don't need other books. We don't need scholars. We don't need other teachers. We don't need sermons. We don't need podcasts. I just read the Bible and I take it as it is. Man, whenever I'm sitting with someone and they say that to me, I always like to challenge that. It's like, so you don't interpret the Bible. I don't interpret the Bible. I take it the way it is. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And I'm always like, because if you haven't figured out by now, sarcasm is one of my spiritual gifts. So you haven't figured that out. I'm always like, as serious as I can, I'm like, well, dude, why didn't you greet me with a holy kiss? Right? Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I'm always like, pucker up, buttercup, it's kissing time. Right? Let's be biblical. Let's apply the Bible to our life. As a matter of fact, why don't you turn to your neighbor right now and give him a little, no, don't do that. I'm kidding. Don't do that. See, as soon as someone will admit to me, well, I'm not kissing you, that's weird. I'm like, good, because I'm not inviting a kiss. That was sarcasm. But as soon as someone says to me, well, I don't greet one another with a holy kiss, I'll say, what do you do at church? Well, I shake hands. And that's awkward anyway, because the pastor gets up and says, greet the people around you. And I get up there and I shake your hands. Well, why don't you greet him with a holy kiss? Well, that's weird. Why? Oh, wait. So what you're saying is that in an ancient culture, and in some cultures still in modern times, particularly non-European white cultures, it's normal to kiss on the cheek, right? But for like modern Americans, we like do the handshake. So what you're doing is you are interpreting a little bit. See, we all interpret the Bible. We all do. So the question is, how are we going to interpret the Bible? I mean, what are we going to use as a guide to interpret the Bible? And so what we say is that we interpret the Bible through Jesus. Understand that it's all about Jesus. See, the other thing that I say to people when they say, well, I don't interpret the Bible, I take it the way it is. I said, really? Who really thinks the Bible's that simple? I'm always like, really? You think it's that simple? Think about the words of Jesus. For example, we'll just take our text for today. Think about just the words of Jesus, right? So we're in John's gospel, just Jesus' words. Listen to these words. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. So we hear that in English. But most of you understand that the Apostle John didn't write those words in English. He wrote those words in the Greek language. So when people say, I just take the Bible as it is, what they mean is I'm taking an English translation of a Greek text the way it is. But it gets more complex than that. Because Jesus, according to most conservative scholars, Jesus didn't speak Greek. He spoke Aramaic. So you're reading the English translation of what was recorded in Greek but spoke in Aramaic. And to make it even more complex, Jesus had a Hebraic mind. So we have to read in an English text what was recorded in Greek, spoken in Aramaic from a Hebrew mindset. That's pretty complex. Now, I don't want that to scare you off, because I want to encourage you to continue to be a lover and reader of the scriptures. But anytime anyone says to you, oh, it's just simple, I just take it the way it is, this is tough stuff. We have to drill down at least four cultural layers. And that's why we need the help of the whole church, including scholarship, in order to understand these things. So don't let this scare you off, but just respect the complexity of Scripture. So for those of you, again, in deconstruction, or for those of you maybe right now you're in a season of real crisis of faith and it has to do with the Bible, what I would submit to you is that your problem is not with the Bible itself. Again, the Bible is our sacred text. Your problem is not with the Bible. Your problem is with a certain interpretation of the Bible. And so what we want to encourage you to do is trade out, get rid of that, well, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, and instead begin to read the Bible with Jesus at the center. Reading the Bible as this grand story, this big story from creation to new creation with Jesus as the main character. Understanding that it really is all about Jesus. That this entire book that we're reading is all about Jesus. That Jesus is our rabbi teaching us the law. Jesus is the new Joshua helping us understand the old Joshua. Jesus is the true king of Israel helping us sort out David and his crazy family. Jesus is the prophet who fulfills all the prophecies of old. Jesus is the good news of the gospel. Jesus is the grand narrative of the epistles. Jesus is the revelation of John's apocalypse. Jesus is the answer. So if you want to know what love is, you look to Jesus. If you want to know what grace looks like, you look to Jesus. If you want to know what mercy and compassion and justice looks like, you look to Jesus. If you want to know what God looks like, you look to Jesus. If you want to know what humanity is supposed to look like, you look to Jesus. And if you want to know what the Bible is all about, you look to Jesus. He is our teacher that once we read the Bible with Him at the center, then it begins to make sense. No, we don't need to throw out our Bible because Scripture is inspired and it is the inspired, infallible witness to King Jesus who is the inerrant Word of God. So again, when you come to a passage that doesn't quite look like Jesus, just pause, take a deep breath, and sit with Jesus. Because understand this about the Bible. The Bible sounds the way it does because God lets His children tell the story. And so when you come across something that just sounds so strange, just pause, sit with Jesus, and He will lead you to understanding. Because ultimately, the Bible is pointing us to Jesus. We could say it this way. The written word leads us to the living word. The word made text leads us to the word made flesh. The spirit-inspired word leads us to the spirit-conceived word. That ultimately, Scripture is leading us to Jesus. And in Jesus, we find new life. Amen. Stand up with me if you would, and we're going to prepare ourselves now.